Okay, we've Wellness Wednesday on the way. We've got Business News with Chris Ashmore and so much more besides. First to an email, and Margaret says, what are we actually paying for when we purchase a flight? Surely when we pay for a flight, it should be automatically assumed that this means a seat on a plane, since standing is not permitted on the plane. Why, therefore, do airlines get away with both advertising and charging extra for that seat, regardless of where the passenger chooses to sit? I'm aware that you can wait and check in for free at the airline desk in an airport, but I'm puzzled by the fact that airlines get away with actually charging for something that one would automatically assume is the product in the first place, i.e. a seat on the plane. This is just a subject I'd like to hear discussed if you wanted to bring it up, or indeed contact an airline or travel agent. I think it's something that should be banned, actually, charging for seats. All airlines do it nowadays. Grossly unfair on passengers. And I think, you know, as you say, when you get the ticket, you get the seat. I think what you're being charged for really is choosing your seat. And that has become a product. And I don't see any going back from it now. Yes, personally, the priority boarding is a load of nonsense, because the plane ain't leaving with the person who doesn't have priority if they're there waiting to get on. But in terms of choosing seats, people are prepared, seemingly, or they feel they have to pay extra to sit together or choose where they sit in the plane. But you will get a seat if you buy the ticket. I don't know how you could challenge it, but certainly it's an interesting point. We really appreciate the email, and we'll throw it out to the listener to see what they have to say. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. Another listener says, I've been in touch with the council for 10 weeks now. I have an eviction notice. They said that I had to wait until the eviction day to find out what the next step is and to make an appeal. I've rang everyone in Letterkenny to Ballybuffet. I have vouchers and I've nowhere to go. I don't know what my rights are. I have a 2-year-old son who had to stay with his dad at the weekend, as I'd nowhere to go. I'm also pregnant. I have nowhere to go. Where do I go from here? Every time I go to the council office, they can't help me. So presumably they must be in private accommodation at this point, and they're looking for the council's support in terms of getting somewhere to stay. But they claim that the council really don't kick in that regard until eviction day. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, by the way, they've nowhere to go. They can't take their 2-year-old with them. They had to stay with their dad, they say. And also this person, this lady, is pregnant. Feel they've got nowhere to go. Every time I go to the council office, they say they cannot help me. So if you have any advice or suggestions for that listener, 086 60 25,000. It's an awful situation that they find themselves in. Another caller says, if our politicians sign up to the WHO, we're going to have mandatory vaccinations and we'll need passport cards for vaccinations. This is what's happening in Canada. Now, we do actually have mandatory vaccinations for travel to certain countries. You can't access them without vaccinations. But I take your wider point. They believe that our children and grandchildren will have to suffer. In 2005, we got a pandemic leaflet in the north. I believe that the pandemic was planned. Another claim that they make. Young people have been dropping dead as a result of this vaccine. That's a claim that's widely made and is widely disputed as well, and people can make up their own minds. They also believe, get the triple up on this, that chemtrails are blocking out the sun. Now, again, we get very little sun in Donegal, but there's very little planes flying over us either. But that is their view, and so be it. I'm certainly not motivated to argue it one way or other, but perhaps a listener out there might be able to help. Right, there is a coffee morning taking place this morning, I believe. Brán Bag Gaeilge. It's a wee drop of Irish. You're invited to come along for a cuppa and a chance to use your cupola focal or learn a few. It's in the canteen at the Co-Lab today, and it runs until... I think it's just concluded. Oops. I think it's just concluded. Right. My bad. Hopefully you went. Is Condi Doherty there? Good morning, Condi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and it's great to have you on the programme, Condi. You took part in the Northwest 10K on Bank Holiday Monday. You wore the number 81 bib, and you wore it for good reason, Condi.
Yeah, it was my 81st birthday on the 6th of May. Right. So me and my son went up to do that. And that was... The Northwest 10K is going for quite a while now. I've done it about five times. on my 69th birthday and on my 75th birthday, I done it, and my 81st. So it seems to fall on the 6th of May or the 5th of May every year, like around that area of time.
And in terms of your preparation for it, Condi, you know, how often do you run? What kind of preparation do you put in?
Well, I go every second day. I run every second day, every morning. I'm slowing down a bit now. I used to do 10, 12 mile every morning, and then now I'm down to about 6, 7 mile.
That's still all eight. Right.
Every second morning, that is.
And do you still keep check of the times when you enter the 10K? Like, do you see what you did on Monday and sort of compare it to how you performed on your 69th and 75th birthdays?
Yeah, well, around the 68 or 70, I was doing about 55 minutes now. And then the last, on Saturday or whatever day it was an hour and 12 minutes. So I'm slowing down.
No, not slowly. Much, though. Not much, indeed. And is this the only run that you take part in, Condi, or do you take part in any other 10 or 5Ks? Or?
Oh, well, I've done a few half marathons. I've done the Waterside half marathon about 7 times.
Mm.
208, 11, and 12, and 14, and around that 2019. And the Waterside half marathon, and the Omaha half marathon, so I've done that about 4 times.
Right, but when did you actually start taking up running, you know, seriously, Condi? If you've been doing it all your life, were you a late adapter or adopter?
No, I started when I was 60.
Okay.
I was 60, I had a sort of a bad back for a while, and I thought if I'd done a bit of exercise, it might build the muscles up or something like that, and it helped me, and I just kept going. So after that, I kept... Yeah, I've done a lot of 5Ks and things like this. So I just run on my own, like, in the morning. I run now with my son. He's home at the moment, and I run with him in the mornings.
Very good. And how do you prevent, any tips on how to prevent injury? You know, because ironically...
No, I can't.
Go ahead.
No, I have no tips at all. Just start off, and the only tip I could give to somebody starting off is I got one time, somebody said, you know, you can... eat an elephant a bite at a time. So start off slow and get there eventually.
Very good. And with
I just build up slowly.
I guess.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, with a 10K, you know, at what stage, can you do 10K? You run effectively 10K, don't you, every other day if you're doing 6 or 7 miles? But, like, do you hit a wall at that, or do you just get into your own mind space and 10K is a breeze for you?
No, it's just a normal run. When there's a crowd of people there, I feel, I don't get too anxious about it. I just go. I'm not going to break no records or anything. I just go for a run. More of a fun run, hopefully.
I get you. Now, you were registered in the 70-plus category. Was there much competition in that category, Condi, in terms of other entrants? Or?
I don't know. I was talking to Philip from Coot Island or somewhere. I think he was 71, and I don't know if they're any younger or older than that, don't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how many were in it at that age.
No, that's the one thing I was curious at, because, I mean, there's probably many could, but there's not many do.
No. Well, later years, there are a few older boys going, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few here in Buncrana still going. I got inspiration from Brian Murphy here. He was an old campaigner. Brian Murphy ran marathons for years. And Peter McKinney, he's still running here in Buncrana. He's coming up to my category, up to my age too.
Very good. And Condi, is this just something you decide when it's the right time to decide, or do you have any plans or targets for the future?
My future? Sure, really was.
And?
No, I don't. I have no plans for anything. I just go. It's just become part of life now for me, getting up every second morning early and going for a run.
Indeed. And it was a great event all around. Three charities benefited this year: Kilmacrenan, Terman, Garton, Churchill and Trenton Community First Responders, Letterkenny Community Child Care Centre and the Cara House Family Resource Centre. So nice to be a part of that too, Condi.
Yeah, I like to do run for charity. And If you don't mind me telling you, Sean, or see, there's Crumlin Children's Hospital coming up now on the 2nd of June in Muncrana. It's a great fun run. It's run by Mickey Bradley. And all the money goes to the Children's Hospital in Crumlin.
Fantastic, brilliant.
All roads lead to Muncrana. They start some people start from Clonmany, and some from Bridgend, and some from Muff, and they all run into Muncrana on the 2nd of June. So Mickey Bradley's runs that. I'd like to give them a wee bit of a boost.
Fantastic. And what date was that again, Condi, just so people can...
On the 2nd of June.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so, fantastic.
And so all the roads lead to Bulcrana as a head.
Brilliant stuff.
Headlines on it.
Have you committed to that one yet, Condi?
Yeah, we're signed up for it. It's a great charity. We give the sponsors all get a team together, like, you know, they all sponsor maybe 20 or 30 runners, and then they all meet up in Muncrana eventually. It starts from different areas. Like.
Yeah. Now, a couple of texts have come in here, Condi, whilst we've been speaking. We've got one from Olivia. I don't know if you know who Olivia is, but she says, "You're catching on me. Best of luck, Condi." I don't know if that rings a bell.
Go ahead, Olivia.
Another listener says, does it? Okay, you know who we're talking about. Okay, that's good. Another caller says, does Condi sing? He's got a lovely deep voice and he sounds like Mike Denver.
Oh, God. No, I don't sing. Jesus.
Well, you started running late. Who's to say you're not going to end up packing out the hotel singing either, Condi? Listen, it's
yeah. Well, I waited till everybody else was run out, and then I started.
Hey,
everybody was burned out. That's 60, so I started.
It's not a bad. It's not a bad strategy. Another listener, Oshin, says, "What an example to us all, Greg. Condi is a legend." I think we'd all agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, Condi.
I never got to do a marathon.
Go ahead. You never got to do a marathon. No, I've loads of time, by the way, Condi. You never got to do a marathon.
Well, I was training for the 2013 the Wall City Marathon, and I was trained up to 22 miles, and then I got an injury on the day before the race, so I never made it.
Do you think you have a marathon in you yet?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know, Sean.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Right. It's perfectly fine. Listen, well done on a great achievement. It was worth chatting to you on many levels, but not least to give that Muncrana run for Crumlin a plug on June 2nd as well. And if one of the organisers has more details, send them in to me and I'll give it a good plug as we head towards then. Condi, listen, you're an inspiration. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care, Condi. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Condi there, obviously. Used to over the years listening to my predecessor, Father Sean Doherty, and there's an awful lot worse things you could be called than Sean, isn't there? Right, okay. I was in a pub on Saturday. It was €5 a pint. On the Sunday, it was up by 20 cents. Okay. Well, €5 still doesn't look too bad on the face of things. Hi, Greg. The pubs and hotels are going to price themselves out of the market. It's just too expensive to get away for a night or going out. Thank you. And the argument from the IFI and others, IVF, in Irish Fitness Federation, yeah, the IVF and others, is that that is what they have to charge to stay in business to make a profit. Okay, we're going to be going to Wellness Wednesday after this short break. Stay right where you are. Okay, so our Wellness Wednesday this week is focusing on hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. It's a painful skin disease. Barry McGrath is joining us. He is from HS Ireland to help increase awareness. A difficult one to pronounce, Barry. You can correct me, of course, if I'm wrong, because this is about information and I don't want to be putting out misinformation either.
Sure. Thank you very much for having us, Greg. Hidradenitis suppurativa, or HS for short, the 23 letters and 10 syllables are quite difficult to pronounce. So within the community, we simply call it HS.
Yeah.
It's a painful skin disease. It typically starts as painful leaking lumps that appear in certain parts of the body. These fill up with pus and our blood. And over time, it can be days, weeks, months, longer. They'll rupture or they'll release their content. The pain subsides and slowly, almost definitely will happen sometime later, it fills up again and the whole process starts. It typically affects intimate parts of the body, the armpits, the breasts in females. And when we go below the waistline, we're talking about the bum, the genitals, the area between them, the inner thighs. Typically appears in areas where skin meets skin and there's friction and rubbing.
Now, like a lot of these conditions that we talk about, diagnosis can take quite some time, but it shouldn't take as long as it should. It is a simple diagnosis once you know what you're looking for.
Correct. And that's one of the very frustrating aspects of it. The global average for time from the onset of symptoms through to learning about HS, the name HS, is about 7 to 10 years. But if you meet the right person, it can be done in a matter of minutes. There are no laboratory tests. There are no complex imaging. You just need to meet the right person. In my own case, it was 20 years. And I lived in three different countries, Ireland, the UK, the Netherlands, and accessed healthcare in each of those and saw multiple specialists until approximately 20 years later, I walked into a GP in Galway who diagnosed me within 2 minutes.
And we'll talk about treatment and outcomes and what have you. But what is the difference between spotting this early and then, you know, the 7 to 10 years? What is the, I mean, obviously in terms of living with it, the discomfort, I don't know, maybe people, the privacy or not wanting your partner to see you. I mean, more of the obvious stuff. But is there anything else that the impact a late diagnosis can have on the person?
Sure, it impacts the person severely. The disease tends to be progressive. It becomes more severe over time. Surgery is part and parcel of the whole treatment process. The longer you leave it before diagnosis, the more likely you are to need surgery, to end up in hospital, occupying a hospital bed. And some of these surgeries can be quite invasive and intensive, several days, several weeks in hospital afterwards, and the follow-up period, because the recovery can often take weeks, months, longer. Furthermore, you lose the, if you're in a physically demanding job, naturally, the more severe it gets, the less likely you are to be able to do that. Mm. We just published a study with some doctors in Dublin and Belfast, which showed that in the population with HS, it's about three, the unemployment is about three times the national average. So as well as the individual, you've these impacts on society as well, and also on healthcare at large. Many of the clinicians we work with, they're frustrated that by the time I get to meet with them, I'm so severely diseased that there's the treatment options are very, very limited. So it's impacting a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the cause? What is the cause, or what are the triggers, or is it hereditary?
There's a number of, they're not entirely sure, but in about one in three people, it appears to be hereditary. In other people, there's environmental factors that can trigger it. It typically happens after puberty. So you've gone through a lot of hormonal changes. A lot of females in our group develop HS after their first pregnancy. So again, another hormonal change. And also they think that things like smoking, obesity can play a role in kickstarting it. Not a cause, but can trigger it and make you more likely.
Stress? Does stress?
Sure, there's little published, but if you speak to anyone who has HS, they'll say that if they're stressed, sure enough, they'll wake up with a painful leaking lump a day or two later.
Is there a risk then of infection as well? I'm thinking sepsis or other infections with skin open?
Absolutely, yes. And cellulitis, sepsis can be an issue. Many people, you can get infections on the wounds, particularly these wounds are very slow to heal. And you've got open skin, it's exposed to the elements, you're more prone to developing superficial infections. Yep.
So from when you first noticed this was happening to you and 20 years down the line, like, does it reach as bad as it's going to get after a certain amount of time and then you're living with it then? Or is it progressive for as long as you have it?
There's no set pattern from person to person. Some people can progress very rapidly. Some people never go beyond what's classed as mild stage. Different strokes for different folks. But the thing is, it tends to be progressive. And over time, if you're talking the decades like I experienced, you will become quite severe. You more than likely will become quite severe. I've required several or quite a few intensive operations with extended hospital stays as a result.
I suspect that when we talk about the figures and those affected, there's going to be a large swathe of people that have it mild, or at least mild at this point, or it may never even progress to the severity that you had it, but still is uncomfortable, or they're very conscious of it. Do you know? And maybe even they're listening to us today, and maybe the penny's about to drop, that they're trying every cream in the country to try and resolve it. It fades, there's flare-ups, fades, flare-ups, and they just have this perpetual existence with it.
Exactly. You've described it very accurately there, Greg. A lot of people are in that mild category, and they just try and live with it and get on with it. But the great news is that they're, within the past year, we've had two new treatments approved for this condition. New treatment options are appearing all the time, and help is out there. There are specialty clinics around Ireland, and these are popping up. Knowledge of the disease is increasing all the time, and things are improving. We still have a long way to go, but it's all pointing in the right direction. And yes, we'd encourage those people to go seek help, come to us. We can help pin or signpost them to the specialty clinics in Ireland.
And I think too, what's becoming a trend now, and even from the sepsis ads that the HSE themselves are running, you're going to have to self-advocate in certain areas. So if you're going back, or if you've heard this interview, you need to say to your GP or your skin specialist, whatever, listen, can you rule out HS? And I think from the answer to that, it might be really quite telling. And if they go, HS? That's pretty concerning. Or if they go, all right, I might have to look into that. Or I already considered that and it's not there. But I think the days where we just go in blindly and trust everything, and this is no reflection on the health service, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about general practitioners, and there's a lot out there. So we do have to advocate for ourselves and say, listen, can you check this? You talked about the diagnosis being two minutes, right? So obviously you connected with someone that was in the know. We'd seen it before, she'd seen it before, whatever. But how is it diagnosed formally? Is there a blood test, or is it visual and then response to treatment?
No blood tests. They ask a couple of questions. How long have you had this? And the repetitive nature and the areas of the body tend to be the armpits, the breasts, under the waistline, the bum, the genitals, the area in between. Those are the hallmark areas of the body. And they can say within 90%, with about 90% accuracy, by asking those questions, they can say you have HS.
And a lot of listeners will already have picked up the obvious that for many people living with this, it's invisible, because the parts of the body that are affected are generally speaking, covered or easily covered without people noticing. And when something is not visible and people just get on with it, then it's often difficult to get attention on that. We know that for a fact.
Yes, it's mostly invisible, Greg, as you pointed out. And it can be difficult, particularly for younger people, to go in and show the private parts of their body to a doctor, or to tell someone, I have this problem in my around my genitals.
Yeah.
You know, it takes people about two and a half years to go to their GP in the first instance.
More and more reason that many people will continue to live with calm moments, flare-ups. But, I mean, why should you? In terms of treatments, now, yours, obviously, when you're talking about operations and what have you, obviously, at that point, it had quite a severe impact on you. But, you know, in milder cases, early stages, is it tropical creams? What is the treatment pattern, generally speaking, if there is a general answer?
Yeah, they start off with topical creams that you apply once or twice daily. After that, then you probably go on a long course of antibiotics, which can help. And there's stage treatments, depending on where you are in the treatment pathway and how severe you are. But yes, creams first, then pills taken a couple of times a day, and eventually then onto biologics or injections, infusions, coupled with surgery. Surgery's often required somewhere along the way.
What is doing there? Is it going at glands, or what's happening in the surgery?
They tend to go in, it's like they go in and cut out the affected area and hope for the best, and right. some areas around it.
Okay.
Just try and cut it all out.
Right.
But
so
you want
really
to avoid
invasive.
That at all
yeah,
costs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mineral or vitamin deficiency, can that be a cause? A listener wants to know.
They think that the zinc supplements have been found to help. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to it, etc. Like all things, Greg, you aim for a healthy, balanced diet, yeah. And that should
that's
stand
always
you in
the,
good stead.
That's always the bar, isn't it?
Yes.
Listener says, delighted to hear you speaking about HS. I've had it for 29 years now. I'm 43. It's calm at the minute, but when it flares up, it affects every part of my life and causes extreme exhaustion, and the pain is horrific. It's a hidden disease and hard to explain. It comes with shame too, so most people don't know I even have it. Thank you for highlighting it. And that text actually is caught in you know, has captured quite a lot of what we've been talking about.
And Greg, if
yeah,
I could just add,
please do.
We hear that all the time from people, you know, the shame, the embarrassment, etc. So what that text you just read out is what we hear all the time in our group.
Yeah, I wonder, is this, I hope this person's getting treatment for this. You know, because it seems to be a cycle for 29 years now of shame and pain, and
yes.
you would hope there is treatment that maybe could alleviate that. Maybe they've gone down that avenue. But listen, in terms of shame, there's lots of things we can have shame on. I wouldn't be ashamed of something that's affecting you like this, but you have to walk in someone's shoes, really, to understand where their shame is coming from.
Of course.
Right.
The fact that it's the private parts of the body
yeah.
don't help, because we have
that. I get that, but we talk about piles and we talk about, mm-hmm. you know, loads of... Yeah, I'm not trying to put anyone off their breakfast. So it's not about that. But there's lots of things like that we talk of and we get over and what have you. But it depends on the individual. And as I say, I would never try and sort of... try and say to someone, don't feel like that, because that's how they feel. Right, it's HS Ireland. I think there's going to be quite a few people checking the website out, because they're going to be quite interested in what we've been talking about, because, as I say, I think this might twig for a lot of people that have just putting it down to...
They might
have changed the washing powder 10 times. Or,
yes,
you know...
Altered their diet.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, what's... And then it passes for some, and they go, oh, right, okay, that must be it. So,
and then it comes back eventually.
Okay. So I must have grown accustomed to that washing powder or something like that. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think it's well worth talking about, which is great. Thanks so much for facilitating it with us, Barry. And people should go to HS Ireland and get more details on that. And as I say, if you go to the right person with the right knowledge... In 90% of the cases, it's an instant diagnosis. But for someone like Barry, he had to wait 20 hours for that 2 minute, 20 years, I beg your pardon, for that 2 minute diagnosis. Barry, thanks for your help this morning. Anything else you want to add, by the way? Sorry.
No, thank you very much, Greg, for highlighting this. One of the problems we've had about HS is that no one is talking about it. But it's great to start the conversation about this. As you said, there is nothing to be ashamed of. Help is available, and we can help signpost people towards the right people in healthcare who can help turn your life around with this.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Greg.
Oh, it's our pleasure. That's what we do here. Thank you so much. Okay, and that's what Wellness Wednesday is all about. Not every topic everyone wants to listen about, but we're trying to do something here. We're trying to make a difference. Firstly, for people with HS to feel that, right, okay, my local radio station is talking about it. Thanks for that. And also, too, for those out there who may be enduring a nightmare and not aware of what it is, because their GP is fantastic, right? But they haven't heard of HS. So that's what we're trying to do with Wellness Wednesday. And we appreciate Barry for speaking so publicly about that. Hi, Greg. Just wondering, why Ukrainian refugees have a vote in the upcoming elections? Well, this is nothing new, by the way, just in case someone has said online or you've read somewhere that, this is because the government wants this, that and the on, and they've changed the rules. You've only ever to vote in the local elections, certainly I could actually date it back, and I might actually, for out of interest. As long as you're ordinarily resident in Ireland, you've always been able to, as far as I can remember anyway, been able to vote in local elections. European elections, different. You have to be a European citizen and what have you. Referenda, general election, different story again. But for local elections, ordinarily resident. And I think really what it's down to, whether you're Irish or Ukrainian or Nigerian or whatever, if you're living in Milford and your local councillor advocates for the people of Milford. You're ordinarily resident there. The argument being that, well, then you have a right to have your say in democracies. Those decisions might affect you directly. And as I say, there's more emphasis on it this time, but it's certainly not new.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Yes, indeed. In studio now with the presenter of Highland Radio's Business Matters business podcast, Chris Ashmore. Chris, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg.
Did you do the 10K?
I did the 10K.
What was your time? Is that like asking someone's age or is it all right?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. 48, 70.
So you weren't too far in front of Condi. He was running 53 minutes when he was 70 odd.
Good going, yeah.
And you're behind him, Chris. Yeah, well behind him.
Yeah. Bit of work to do, Greg.
Well, let's see if you can do 112 when you're 81, Chris. Hopefully.
We'll get there.
All right, good day, though, was it?
Oh, great, yeah.
What's the atmosphere like at
something
like that?
Yeah, it was good. It's really before and afterwards, you know, there's just a great buzz. When you've the guts of 1,000 people sort of all getting ready and you're all lined up at the start, it's just a sea of people at the start. You don't really know how many people are there because it's just in front and behind, and good buzz, and I think because the weather conditions were favourable,
not too warm but dry. I'm guessing
when it's I think it was about 12 degrees, and you know, it was a little bit of light wind, but I think a lot of people maybe did slightly better than they had expected. So there were a lot of happy campers, but the main thing to get around. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there wasn't a lot of happy campers because there was an awful lot of campers leaving West Donegal and the Fannad Peninsula and what have you, trying to get home, and they couldn't. So there was a lot of unhappy campers.
it's a great event, okay. And it stood the test of time, and there was, for a lot of people, it's kind of including myself, sort of kickstarts the year. That was the first race of the year, you know, and the weather's
getting better. It's like the first cut of the lawn, isn't it?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get some news before we talk about the podcast itself. And Microsoft and wind energy created in Donegal. What's the connection?
Yeah, they've entered into a long-term agreement with SSE Renewables and Future Energy Ireland, basically to take electricity from the recently commissioned Lena Lea Wind Farm, which is about 10 kilometres southwest of Letterkenny, out near the Cark Wind Farm that a lot of people may see in the distance driving in the Letterkenny area. So essentially what's happening here is that Microsoft, like a lot of the other big companies in this sector, they're trying to find a way of powering their data centres using renewable energy, so ticking that boxes. And it was interesting during the week, in fact, the Sunday Business Post, their lead story was about the Amazon chief in Ireland who has expressed real concern about whether there's going to be enough power for all these data centres that are being produced. And if everything that is in the planning pipeline comes into being, these data centres could consume over 70% of the country's electricity.
I'm not as much worried if there's enough power for the data centres. I'm more worried is there much enough left over to run my stuff.
Exactly.
But or our stuff, I mean us as a collective. I presume that's some sort of an exchange or an offset for their balance books, because for their, you know, in the green element of it, because they're not piping that power. They're taking a proportion of it, and then Electric Ireland can figure that out themselves. Right, a new book coming out?
Yeah, now one of Ireland's best known inspirational and motivational speakers, Galway's Pádraig O'Malley. He's a little saying that he's come up, it's called Schmocked, which is a strategy, marketing, attitude, cash, human beings and time. He applies it to a lot of business examples, and he's written a book. It's about a fictional character, Riley, and you read about the formula for business successes. And I've seen him, this guy, Pádraig O'Malley, very, very, very interesting and very good to listen to. So he's got a book out now, which a lot of people in business, I am sure, will be reading. And if you're not in business, A lot of thought-provoking stuff and simple stuff that makes sense.
All right, some upcoming events. The local enterprise office, Leo.
Yes, they have a Start Your Own Business programme that gets underway. It's online from the 4th of June, so just a bit of advance notice from that. And if you want to find out more, you can go to the local enterprise website and book for that.
How do you do it, Chris? Like, I need something to generate wealth. Accumulate wealth. Mm. I've nothing really, right? And yet everybody else seems to have stuff.
Have you an idea, Greg?
Well,
you do.
I mean, no,
yes,
I don't.
He does.
But like, I would like advice, or maybe to be brought under the wing of a philanthropist or an entrepreneur or something. I must have something to offer. There was a beautiful car pulled up outside here, not staff car, yesterday. The car must have been worth more than my house. Like, you know, it was almost the size of the house. I just, you know, I don't have, there's lots of people, and fair play to them, that find ways to accumulate wealth. I don't think maybe if you're PAYE worker that you can. Maybe starting your own business is it. But you've got no advice for me, so maybe I should go to the Leo office.
Go and do the program. Gives you a little insight into a touch of everything, and deep inside that
like
skull, there's an idea there. I can
just
see
like
it.
Something that, you know, when, if you lost your job or something, you'd have something, you know. Yeah. Anyway, right. Am I oversharing? But anyway, I don't know. Maybe other people feel the same as me. It would just be nice to sort of have a cushion, or, you know, to have accumulated or be able to accumulate something.
Also, just to let you know, there's a business support clinic in Buncrana on Friday the 24th of May. So if you're in the Inishowen area, you can get one-to-one advice about all the Leo supports available for your business.
Right. Employment permits, and they're issuing.
Yeah, no, I came across figures. It was four last year around the country, and there were a total of 114 employment permits issued to companies in Donegal last year. Now, an employment permit is required if you are not from the EU or Iceland, Liechtenstein or Norway, because they're part of this EEFA, the free trade area, so it's a bigger thing. And they're issued really based on a job offer from an Irish employer. So it could be for a skilled workers in a particular sector, or indeed maybe foreign firms that are here and they're bringing in one of their employees from one country that's maybe not in the EU.
Now, we speak to someone who was brought over a couple of years ago from India to work.
So they may have to go through this. So there was 114 of these employment permits granted in County Donegal last year, and 12 were refused.
Oh, that's interesting.
And nationally, it was about 14,000. So we're pretty small.
I think a lot of those are fruit picking and stuff. Make up the
and
sway.
Big multinationals, as you say. Yeah,
I think if you've got a breakdown of those, there's an awful lot of, I don't know what that area is actually the catch-all name for it, but I do know
horticultural.
I do know there had to be certain, the government had to make certain provision because there was no one to pick strawberries and stuff and what have you, and we relied on workers from outside Europe.
Keelings with the strawberries and all that.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. Right, if you like sweet stuff and you've access to Newtown Cunningham.
Yes, Greg, if you like marshmallows and all things sweet, there's a hands-on workshop in Newtown Cunningham this Saturday. Could be just for you. Linda McLean is a food scientist. She returned to Donegal after being abroad for over 20 years and set up Mallow Mia, which specialises in making gourmet marshmallows and rocky roads. So this is a Food Coast Donegal event. You can go along to the workshop, make your own stuff, have a bit of crack of music and a cuppa. Tickets are €25 each and are limited, but a bit of fun. And you go home with your nice little bag of treats.
That you've made yourself, at least, or some of them. All right, okay, brilliant. All right, that's a run through some of the headlines. So what's on the podcast this week, Chris?
Yeah, my guest is Kieran McKenna, who's the owner of two family-run Londa stores in Inishowen, one in Buncrana, which is also the Circle K filling station there, just on the edge of the town, the other in Drung, Quigley's Point, where they manage the fuel for Inishowen Co-op. And recently, he was one of seven businesses recognised by FBD Insurance for the focus on local customers, the local community, you know, and having that real hands-on approach. And as a result of that, he got a nice promotional package. So that all tied in well. And as we can hear in this clip, he's always put a big emphasis on being part of the local community, building up that rapport with your customers and supporting local initiatives and sports-related activities.
Oh, I'd far rather be out meeting people, as I said, is the part that I like most, is meeting people. I don't like being in an office. I love to chat, if anyone that knows me. I'm not afraid to talk. But at the same time, it's very important for our local customers to see the face, you know, behind the shop, behind the store, you know, isn't afraid to do the jobs that anyone else does. I've never asked anyone to do anything, you know, within the working day here in the store or my working life. I've never asked anyone to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. So from early morning to late at night, there's in Buncranny here, from 5:30 in the morning, there's staff here till just after 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. Retail is a hard job, but when you enjoy doing it, it makes it more easy.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, lots and lots of businesses, Chris, you know, by definition, or they make targeted efforts to support local businesses, support local people. And sometimes actually just letting people know what you're doing and not to be, you know, to push it out there. Because, yeah, you know, even just across the road from us here, at Marching's place, you know, they've got signage that points out the amount of local producers they support, other organisations they support. As I say, lots of businesses are doing it. You know, take a leaf out of some of these guys' books and just let the public know. The
absolutely,
great stuff they're
doing. And very keen to support local suppliers. Recently, he's Irish-made greeting cards. You know, the expressions are all in Irish.
Lovely.
It's done by a local person, and you know, great to see it.
All right, great stuff. That's Kieran McKenna of Launders, and that was just a sample of the interview. You can listen to it in full. He's in conversation with He's in conversation with Chris Ashmore. That Business Matters podcast is available for you right now on our website at highlandradio.com. It's in the playback section. It's actually up in the headline section at the moment. That'll drop away as the day wears on. It's always going to be for you in the listen back section there. And it's not just this pod, it's previous episodes as well. So it's broadcast on air as well, Chris, of course.
Yes, on Sunday after the 6 o'clock
just
news.
Just think, by the time it's broadcast, Donegal's going to be Ulster champions. What?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yeah.
They aren't now, but by the time that's broadcast, we will be the champions of Ulster.
So have you a wee wager on, Greg?
The bookies aren't getting any of my money.
Yeah.
But I will bet with you if you want.
€1.
No, that's not good enough. I'll bet €1 if you give me 15 to 1 on it. No.
I'm afraid I'm
You don't
not
have
gonna,
your doubts, do
no,
you?
No, I don't. Not really.
Good,
no,
okay.
No. Pretty confident.
We have to be confident.
Confident.
But manage our expectations.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how I managed to again segue into Donegal versus Armagh this Sunday.
There's too much going on up there.
No, there's not. No. It's just always an opportunity. Just to let you know that, by the way, of course, we have a fantastic team working in sport here. Oisín Kelly will be live from Clonus, as you can imagine, with a build-up, with full match commentary, full post-match reaction as well. So that's this Sunday. Keep that date in your diary. Then after 6 o'clock, you can unwind with Chris and the Business Matters podcast. Chris, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how the hell do they do it?
Simplest way is to email businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
It's always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you so very much indeed. We're going to be talking to Gary after this quick break. Right, Gary, good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Okay, we've been talking about the Eurovision. Gary, I'm sure we've talked about the Eurovision before, me and you, you know. I seem to recall.
We did last year,
I can remember certain things. Right, so did you watch last night?
I did, yes. Watched it, Greg. Actually enjoyed it. I think now maybe some of the songs maybe just weren't as good as last year. I found just some of the songs kind of just, you know, just okay.
But isn't that really...
Did enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, though, isn't it? It's the criticism of it. It's the enjoyment
exactly,
of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so who's your favourite at this point?
At this point, Croatia. So anybody listening, put their money on Croatia. Okay. I think they'll be hard to beat, Greg, to be honest.
You could do a Croatia Donegal double, maybe.
Or no, Croatia Ireland double.
Yeah, well, maybe. All
but
right.
I think Ireland is actually under a bit of a chance, to be honest, you know. I don't think they might be under the shout.
It's kind of just
I know the song's about... Yeah, exactly. And I know the song's about sort of kind of crazy, but, I mean, it's different, and that's what the Eurovision is. It's not a song contest anymore. It's like an entertainment show. And it's kind of anything goes, I think, at this point on it, as we witnessed last night.
Yeah, so you've kind of grown
with it. I actually like the Irish song.
Yeah, you've won. Well, let's hear a bit of it. Listen to this. Yeah, so, I mean, it gets really quite melodic. There's a lot of screaming in it. But, I mean, you've watched this for years, Gary, right? So it has changed.
I have, yeah.
We can't hark back to the days where, you know, Bucks Fizz ripped the skirts off each other and stuff. I mean, those days are gone, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly. It's changed so much. It's really unrecognisable from those days. Mm. I mean, I watched the repeat of the 74 contest there a while back. The one where ABBA won. And I mean, it's unreal how different it is compared to the current Eurovision.
And there is some speculation that ABBA might show their faces on Saturday because, of course, they are Swedish.
Of course, yes.
That would be
a huge delight for a lot of the fans, including myself, because I'm a big ABBA fan as well. And I've been to London, they've seen the ABBA Voyage show as well. So,
oh, wow, is this the holograms?
It was.
What was
that indeed.
Like?
2 years ago now.
Yeah, what was it like in person?
It was absolutely mind-blowing. That's all I can say. I would advise anyone who are not even ABBA fans to go and see it, right, because it is jaw-dropping.
Let's hear
incredible.
A bit of Croatia.
You would just...
Let's hear a bit of Croatia. This is your favourite.
Greg, that's so catchy. That is really catchy.
Yeah, and
it sounds like about a chanting or something. But I must say, I thought Johnny Logan was brilliant.
Yeah, why did he sing the Swedish Euphoria song, I wonder, and not one of his own? I mean, I enjoyed it and I thought it was great, but I just was going, oh.
I think because with Ireland and Sweden now joint winners, that was the idea.
Yeah.
And I did read somewhere a while back that they were kind of planning to do something like that. So I'm just wondering, will Lorraine sing in Thursday's semi-final and do one of Johnny's songs? Maybe she could sing Why Me, Linda Martin's Why Me, maybe. That would be something.
Good idea. 1 second, Gary.
Okay.
That's Gary's favourite. All right, listen, good stuff, Gary. You'll enjoy Thursday and Saturday anyway. Do you watch on your own?
I won't see Thursday because I'll have a big engagement in Belfast to see Mr. Springsteen, so I won't see Thursdays.
Right, God, you get about it, don't you?
So, I'm telling you, I could have got anywhere.
There's a lot of people looking to offload their Springsteen's tickets, I've noticed. You know how normally coming close to a concert, everyone's looking for tickets? But there seems to be quite a few tickets
for
the likes of Springsteen in Cork and Belfast. But anyway, come here. I don't have any Bruce lined up, so you're going to have to hum it yourself, Gary. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the concert Thursday.
Okay.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye. All right, see ya. That's Gary. He's a Eurovision fan there, of course. We were asked earlier on, would there be any general sale of tickets for the Ulster final? There'll be no tickets released on general sale for this Sunday's Ulster Senior Football Championship final between Armagh and Donegal. So if you used to get them in your local centre or wherever it might be, unfortunately, no tickets. They're all being allocated through clubs. And there's more people want tickets than are available. Now, in the past, some tickets have been handed back and then there was late availability, but I don't think that's going to be the case this year. Right, OK, listen, I mean, there's been a bit of everything in the show today, hasn't there? And that's what we try and do, keep you informed and entertained over 3 hours every weekday morning. I'm Greg Hughes. I'm back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.